Blog Talk Radio.
You know, the reason I want to see who's singing that, because it sounded like Sam Cooke.
Thank you, Sam Cooke. Yeah. A change is going to come, and God knows, Sammy, we need it now. Welcome, people.
Yes.
Welcome to...
She's raising the bar.
Raising Blog
the
Talk bar. Radio coming at you, 1 o'clock on Wednesdays. And, you know, it's amazing. This song came out, like, I think, 1964. And it was a very powerful song because it was just really laced within the civil rights movement. And you realize that song stands for every decade because we really haven't come as far as we should. And now, again, we have to resurrect songs like that to really embrace the fact that with so much going on, that set us back. You know, songs like that, I think, just, like, refuel us,
mm-hmm.
and they just give you hope, and you realize that it's
always
going to... It's
of all this stuff that,
and it's always
that
gonna
we've
be.
Been through.
Yeah, but, you know...
But we go through different things now.
And the sad thing is, it's always going to be, as long as
humans.
Humankind has an ego, and we know we have this quest for conquering and dividing and just... gaining land and pushing people off the land and male supremacy and white imperialism, all of that. This is it. White male imperialism. I shouldn't say white male imperialism. That song is always going to stand the test of time, unfortunately. But Sam Cooke, who followed Nina
wonderful
Simone,
voice.
Yeah,
wonderful
Nina Simone,
voice.
Thank you.
Yes.
Both of them hope they are resting in peace. And
our audience that was clapping.
Thank you, audience, and we love our audience. Give yourself a nice round of applause.
Woohoo!
It's a good thing. It's always a good thing. And to my lovely co-host, welcome to Women's History Month. Happy, we haven't wished each other
happy
Women's
History Month.
Yeah.
To my lovely co-host, Lori Towers.
And you know what? And to the women of the world and to our wonderful progressive men that support us and walk with us. Thank
mm-hmm.
you very much.
Not
and
the old men.
Well, you know, there are some old men that walk. I mean, there are progressive older men. I mean,
no.
I think
they're talking about politics.
Well, you know, yeah. But don't forget, we talk about the older men on the right. No, we don't.
No.
They're not standing with us. But
no.
The older men on the left, they certainly, you know, stand with us. And thanks for that. But before I say anything else, you know, Elite and I love our Mexican food. And I want to give a shout out to this. My pick for restaurant of the month is this place called Chela in Brooklyn. And this place is just newly opened, only about 3 months. And it is just, you must stop in and see the owner, Michael McGuire. This place is just, I mean, Park Slope, if you...
A Mexican restaurant with a McGuire?
Yeah, how about that? It could happen. Changes are going to come, baby. There you go. Changes are coming. But, yeah, and it's just wonderful food. And it's on 408 Fifth Avenue in Brooklyn, Park Slope. I always say, if you can't find a place to eat in Park Slope, you don't want to eat. But it really is. I mean, margaritas are great. Guacamole is great. You definitely have to check them out. Check out their email. Check out their website, www.chela. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Chela or Chela. ParkSlope.com, and they are just follow them on Instagram at Chela Park Slope, and you won't be disappointed if you go in and say hey and say that she's raising the bar, sent you. Maybe that might mean a margarita.
Don't promise that.
but it may mean absolutely nothing, not even a table, but that's just the way it is. But a shout out to them, and we've been there, and thank you so much for all your hospitality. And I have to, for anybody tuning in new, I have to introduce a lady
that... Well, I just introduced you.
Well, I know, but I really didn't give you a
okay.
Props, you know,
all right.
A lady
if you
who's
want.
Always been riding shotgun
I'm never
going to
deny you.
For 7 years? Seven years riding shotgun with me? It was
eight years.
Riding and under different formats with me. The lovely...
Yes.
Effervescent... Elite Siegelman.
Ta-da.
Thank you for joining me.
And again, to my right,
the
lovely Lori Towers.
Thank you all that much.
There you go.
And it's finally seeming like spring.
Yes, yes.
It's finally seeming like the promise of spring can be fulfilled.
Yes, yes.
That's
and if it makes you feel good inside.
And the fact that we lost an hour, but we gained an hour of sunlight.
Oh, I'd rather lose 2 hours and get 2 hours of daylight.
Doesn't that make a difference? Haven't you seen the difference in people's moods? I mean, just
yeah.
with the war, even we got, I mean, anybody who's listening outside of New York, we had one day in February that was 70 degrees. I forgot when it was, but it was like earlier on in February last
mm-hmm.
month, and we were walking around, people just like looking at each other saying, oh, isn't this great? I mean, you know it's horribly wrong.
Right.
And when people, and we have, you know, freezing weather and people go, this weather is crazy. No, that's winter.
Yeah.
70 degrees was crazy, but we'll, you know, we'll make accommodations for that.
But people soaked it up for the day, so.
We'll make accommodations for that stuff. But I think it's safe to say that we are out of the woods.
I pray.
You know, even if we got, and we won't, 12 inches tomorrow.
Oh, bite your tongue.
But even if we did.
I mean, it won't last long, but still a hassle.
Just know that April is within spitting distance, as my friend would say.
April's not a great month either.
Well, it's rainy.
It's a hit or run.
Yeah, but you know what? It's not going to snow. See, I don't mind the rain. It's not going to snow.
I remember when I was a kid, there was a lot of snow days in April when I was in school.
I don't remember.
A lot of snow days.
I'm lying for one reason. Because one Easter Sunday was in April, and it was, I think, 1977. And over the Palm Sunday, we got a lot of snow.
Yeah.
Probably more than that, because I remember.
You can't fool Mother Nature.
Yeah. It was April, and I remember going to sleep, and they were predicting some snow, and we were thinking, oh, come on, not. And the next morning you wake up and you.
And I remember, they closed the schools once. It was so much snow. I remember it was like almost like April 1st or April 2nd. It was April Fool's Day on us because it's like a foot of snow outside. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And they closed the schools.
It could happen, but it doesn't usually. It can.
So let's just pray and hope.
And you know, even if that did happen, even if the worst case scenario did happen, we didn't really have a bad winter. We had a very good winter.
Everybody saying, oh, we're going to get so much snow. The Farmer's Almanac says we're going to get so much snow.
Did they? Because I thought it was.
I heard
it was going to be very cold.
Well, it was very cold.
It was.
But we didn't get hardly. Thank God. I mean, I'm going to pray to God that we don't get any more.
We got what? We got 4 inches, 2 weeks ago, which wasn't bad. And I think two inches before that.
3 inches where the mayor got duped
for
not getting prepared.
I got to be honest with you. I wouldn't want his job.
No.
Because either way, you're screwed.
Yeah.
If you close the schools, you're screwed. If you don't and people get stuck and there are accidents and people get, you're screwed.
Listen, there was no snow days, and the day that did snow,
the
4 inches, the streets are nice and clear
by
the afternoon.
If I had my way, I'd rather keep everybody home
on
the safe side than hearing about people that got caught in traffic, there's frostbite, that got into car.
The only thing is, I feel bad for the parents, is that parents, you know, what do they do with their kids when they're home?
Well,
they have to call a sick day in.
I used to tell you when I lived upstate in Beacon, in Hudson Valley, anytime there's even just a flake of snow that falls, they close the schools because the roads are, you know, very windy and
a little more narrower than
when you're going to get a lot of snow, the roads are always questionable. So they would just not for the trip there, but the kids coming on the bus home. So automatically, I remember one time I was with my older goddaughter, and I was staying over watching her one night, and I was about to go home because I stayed with her the night, and put her on the bus stop, walked back in the house, and she said she was walked right back at me. She said, Aunt Laura, the school is closed. I said, what? How? Well, they said it might snow. And that was it. And
wow.
It wasn't even snowing.
No.
It did snow later, but like 4 hours later. I said, oh, jeez. So you wonder what the parents do.
Yeah.
You know, in cases like that, I think you probably...
like 90% of the parents are both working
you
now.
You have to rely, I think, on your neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this time I'll watch your child. You watch. I
right.
think that's the only way of doing it because you'll really be screwed.
Yeah.
Calling out every
I'll call
day.
Call a babysitter.
Losing your job. I mean, it's just not worth it.
It's not fun.
But, yeah. But the theme of our song, our show, is A Change Is Coming.
A change is going to come.
A change, yeah, a change is going to. Well, same thing. A change is coming.
A change is going to come.
And our next guest, she's not on board yet, but I'm going to talk her up now. Lovely, lovely woman whose face you would know. Just like the very lovely Nancy Donahue,
mm-hmm.
who's, I always say, you probably might not know her name, but you'd know her face because she's
right.
on Vogue, blah, blah, blah. Well, Maria McDonald is a pioneer, a fashion icon, a character actor, role model, and so much more. We've seen her grace the cover of several, more than several, high-profile magazines and commercial ads. She was actually on Miami Vice, and I would love to see the video of that. She was on that, just to name a few. What most people don't know is her journey to become an iconic model. And what I like the best about her, and she and I were talking, is her organization, Cover Girls for Change,
mm-hmm.
is all about platforming causes. And I think that a lot of people get annoyed at celebrities when they let their political leanings, like, you know, when people always get annoyed at people accepting Emmys and, you know, any type of Academy Award.
And then they come in with their political view.
But see, this is my feeling. Usually, anybody in the arts is leaning to the left, so I'm always okay with it. But even if it's someone like Ted Nugent who comes up and spouts such ridiculous, ridiculous, homophobic, racist,
mm-hmm.
Gun-toting nonsense.
Freedom of speech.
Yeah, that's what I always say. I change the channel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
what you have to do.
And that's the but I always think that anybody who is a celebrity should use the platform to. I know it gets annoying when people like constantly go on for two, but you have the eyes and ears of millions of people, so why wouldn't you use it?
Yeah,
I mean that's what I always think.
For a good platform.
Right, and this is what she does, and when she comes on, she will tell us all about that. And it's funny. I'm going to ask her what she thinks about this too, because you and I were discussing the whole big scandal with, the cheating to get the kids in colleges, you know. And I remember yesterday, when I'm working, I very rarely have the news on, but people were coming in and telling me what was going on. And the first thing I said is, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's been happening
forever.
What's
the difference?
Yeah, why are they making a big deal out of it? Everything's
made
a big deal out of it.
But honestly, it is a horrible thing.
Of course it is.
On so many levels.
But how many people cheat at stuff?
But
especially celebrities that have the money.
This is nothing new. It's like, I don't think, if anybody was shocked by that, you really have to be living in a different
And let me ask you something. If those two actresses that we know very well,
mm-hmm.
if they weren't the cover story, the face for the cover
mm-hmm.
story, you think they really would have made such a big deal out of it? They're just, they put their name in the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's what they're doing.
Well, of course,
those are the two, right. They're going to drag their name in the dirt. And if it wasn't for their two names, we wouldn't know anything about much of it.
But,
and they wouldn't made a big deal out of it.
Here's the only difference. This will always go on. I mean,
and it always will go on.
Anybody
yes.
who says that, well, you know what, the rich don't have influence over the mass population.
Look at our president.
Come on. And he's the perfect example.
Yeah.
And not saying anything about anybody's IQ. I don't think
no,
it's high.
No,
it
has nothing to do with that. Money can get you anything.
His father. Harvard is Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Harvard and Yale, two very hard schools to get into. I'm positive. Just based on dialogue and vocabulary and use of the language, he did not have the scores to get in. But
that's why they won't
Papa
release
Trump,
them.
Papa Trump got him in. And again, that's been happening. This is not, and this one instance is not going to stop anything.
No. They'll do it again.
It will exist. The only thing that was different here is there was an organization that was streamlined to suit this.
Right.
So there was the middleman that made millions only difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't just me handing you some money, handing you an envelope. This is just
right.
between us.
Exactly.
There was a guy who was setting up a platform, a website to encourage, you know, financial reimbursement to get your child into the school of not their choice, of your choice.
Of your choice.
So
imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
And you and I were saying before, the lessons that you're teaching your children with this is money talks.
Mm-hmm.
You don't gain by merit. Your occasion, your event, your success will be bought and can be bought. And the saddest one is, you are not good enough. I want you to go to a better school. I don't trust your academic ability.
I don't think they think that. I don't think they think
that. Somewhere in your child.
You know why? Because they're too spoiled to even fathom that thought to themselves. Because they don't care.
But, you know, yes and no. There's got to be something that, and this is what
I really
okay,
don't think
now,
they're good
this
at
is the
they think
perfect
that
example.
Is.
Trump.
Mm-hmm.
He is the amalgamation of massive insecurity.
Yeah.
From somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, his father buying him into every event he got into, every school he got into, that had to leave a scar. That we're seeing now. This is a very, very screwed up man. And you hate to go back and blame the parents, but somebody did something too much or too little.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what you get.
Or a huge ego.
Yeah, but, you know, a huge ego is usually
he's got a huge deflated ego.
No. A huge ego is born of massive insecurity, and anger is born of fear.
Right.
These are the two traits he seems to...
he doesn't seem angry.
He doesn't seem angry?
No, I think he's just full of himself.
I think he's angry. I think he's angry enough, and, you know, certainly angry enough for me, but I think he's the perfect example of somebody, you know, buying an education, because there's no way he did that.
And that's why, everybody wanted to see his scores from his military
mm-hmm.
school on, and he won't, you know, they won't give them to you. They won't let you see anything. Between the scores of his school, his taxes, everything is confidential.
See, what I would have done if I were him, instead of threatening people,
mm-hmm.
if you're really this great at PR, you spin it. See, look, my grades weren't great enough to get into these schools, but look what I did with myself. See,
oh,
that's
he would never
how
do
you
that
do
that.
It.
He would never say that about himself.
More people,
come on.
But you know what? There's nothing wrong with saying I don't take tests.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying
no, but I'm saying
he would say that.
That doesn't mean you can't go out and make millions.
Right.
You're a poor test taker.
Of course.
That's fine.
Of course. That's how many people are.
And that's what I'm saying.
So many
he should have spun it, and he would have looked better for doing
right.
it. But instead, you threaten people, and you continue your bullied lifestyle. That's it. But our guest is on.
Yes, she is.
Bring
I'm going to bring her on.
Welcome, Maria.
Hello,
Maria McDonald. Are you there?
Hello.
I am here. I'm here.
There you are.
Hello, guys.
How are you? Welcome.
You guys so much. I heard you guys talking. It was amazing. You guys talking about not taking tests. Well, okay.
Let me ask you this, because we gave you a lovely build-up, and I'm not going to even go through it again, but I want to ask your opinion on all this. What are you thinking?
Are you talking about that college? I heard the
last part.
Of
the very same.
Okay. I haven't really given a thought. I don't really understand what's going on, because it's like that's what you're saying, but what does it really mean?
You know, this is what I was saying all day yesterday. The rich will always, and I'm not saying all rich, because I know a lot of people that have wealth and use it in the right way. But there are parents that will always buy their way into a situation for their kids. And that's
mm-hmm.
all that happened here. So anytime mm-hmm. anybody came in yesterday and said to me, oh, can you believe what went on? Yeah, of course I can. It's been going on for centuries.
Right. Okay,
That's never going to change.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so I didn't see anything unique about it either, so that's why I'm like, what
exactly.
opinion about what?
That's what I'm saying. It's just
been around for a long time.
And you know what? This is going to take precedence over the press. for the next couple of days.
Yeah.
It'll go away, and it'll funnel into another direction.
And like I said to Lori before, I said the reason that it's such a big deal is because we have two celebrity faces in front of this now, in front of the story, and that's what they're going to do.
See, but what I want to talk about is what Alit and I were saying before about people of celebrity status using their platform to make political statements that are important, and how many people get annoyed, oh, my God, they're rattling on about this, rattling on about that. But I think it is both a privilege and a responsibility of people that have the public's attention, either their ears or their eyes, to make political statements. And that's what your business is doing, and tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, CoverGirls for Change. Okay, yeah, it actually, just a little background, a former model actress and founder of CoverGirls for Change, which came out of model reunions, like Nancy Donahue was doing one, and they had a, then some girls from Europe, the models who used to do a lot of European work, they did one, and that's the one I went to, and I just heard all their stories, playing catch-up, and the stories are amazing, as you can see when you have them on your show. And I just said we need to open this up and wrap it around causes, movements, and charities. And so that's what CoverGirls for Change became, I mean, where I actually did it, and I put a reunion together and opened it up for the public, donated the funds to human trafficking, a company called Red Light Children, then did a couple other things just to see if I really had something viable to really build and grow on, and we do. So I wanted to be able to take the voices of the fashion or the model industry, unmute the faces in magazines, and become a part of the global conversation for change. You've got Angelina Jolie in film. You've got Bono in music, and it's mute as far as the fashion industry being a part of the conversation.
And it's important.
Very interesting.
And see, that's what I'm saying. I mean, people get annoyed when people are making the acceptance speeches at the Emmy Awards and the, you know, and
but who are the people that are annoyed?
But the ones that don't really care. I have to say, there are people that do care that say, you know what, I understand what they're saying, but I'm watching this for entertainment. But you have to, what other exposure do these people have?
Exactly.
Then their 30 seconds to thank people and also talk about what you really should.
Right.
But you really should.
And that's not all I'm about. I'm not all about being a model or all about an actress and all that. I care about our environment and what goes on in it.
Yeah, exactly.
And the things you're talking about, you've got mass incarceration and, you know, one of the examples I like to tell is a top model named Slick Woods. They found her sleeping outside so that matches homeless, right? Her voice, and here it is, she amplifies the conversation. Celebrities spotlight it where you get the attention. But you need the human factor, not just the ones that we usually see, the nameless ones.
Right.
But there's people you've been looking at who also are that. And she's one of them.
Interesting.
Top model.
And it's one thing. I mean, sharing a story like that is not for everyone. I mean, I tend to be a very private person. So I think about myself, if sharing my story is going to help people, of course you want to do
that.
Right,
and that's what
I'm sure. But it's not easy.
No,
it's not
of course
easy, you know, to...
Well, coming from a person like you, no.
Yeah, but no, but I mean, I adore when people say, you know what, I've gone through this and that, I was homeless, I slept... I love hearing stuff like that.
Right.
Because there's a certain amount of bravery to go through that.
Right, exactly.
But then to share it.
Right.
So I think that's really impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has a healing factor to it, a human factor to it, and the reason I like that is not just the faceless person that you're looking at, it's someone you were looking at all the time, and you had no idea that you can transcend anything.
Right.
So there's a healing component to it, and it just makes it full circle and digestible so everyone can hear, because this is the model you look at all the time.
And I think that's
and really change your feelings about the person, you know.
It really does.
Before she was just a face, but now she really was a face with a story, you know.
And you see your own reflection, you know, because everybody has
in
issues.
Something, yeah, definitely.
And, you know, I think Hollywood of yesteryear, you created this veneer, and you wanted things to look a certain way, and you even had a code of conduct. You couldn't do this, you couldn't do that, you couldn't be seen here. But so it's really nice to take away the layer and see there's an actual person here that suffers like I do, that has insecurities, that suffers from depression, that went broke, that went bankrupt, that came back.
Right, right.
You have real authentic relationships, and you have organic. You're not just giving money to a charity and, like, I'm going to give it to that over there, and then that's it. Okay, I feel better. This is where there's a human connection, and there's a relationship that's involved, and therefore it's organic contribution now.
Right.
Because you're really contributing because she's you.
That's exactly right. Well, I think in a way, we are ego driven in the sense that, I mean, you just said that, Maria. It's just that she is me, and that is what always makes somebody vote. It's like I always say, we don't see things as they are; we see things as we are. So we always vote in step with what works for us and what we see in ourselves and what's personal to us.
Yeah.
Right.
And in this case, it works.
Yeah.
What was the definitive moment that you said, okay, I'm going to take this a step further?
Okay. Well, just to give a little backstory, before the Models Reunion, in 2008, my son was online, and we found a friend who I hadn't seen in a long time. He's from the music industry, and I was like, where is he? I heard he was in prison, and he should be out by now. So he found him online. I saw an email on a website. I clicked it and got a response. So here's a 20-year gap. Mm-hmm. And on the response, it's like, where have you been, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, long story short, we reconnected, and you have to go through paperwork in order to come visit a federal prison. Mm-hmm. It ended up that I saw him for the very first time. I was approved. It was on my birthday.
Oh, wow.
So I spent for 5 years, every 2 weeks, going to the prison to understand this whole thing, because this is not a story. That's back to the human factor. This is not a story in a magazine. I'm sitting here with him, and he's brilliant and incredible. So then I went to Washington, D.C., spoke on panels, did advocacy work, all kind of stuff. So for 5 years, did that, and that's when I was hearing the connection of the reality is far more powerful, and the models have the stories too. We're all a part of this movement, and that's Cover Girls for Change. Mm-hmm. Other than that, it's more of the same, a 501c charity, and here we go, you know, random, faceless people. No, this is an engagement platform, and so it does two things. It gives depth and expansion to the models' credibility, whereas the celebrities have come and they've become the Cover Girls. The celebrities have come and they get the endorsement contracts. Because the models, they assume, have nothing to say. Mm-hmm. But it's not that they didn't have anything to say. You needed a platform in order to share it.
Yeah.
Because everybody's not saying the same thing. Anyway, so that's the Unmeeting the Faces in magazines, and that's why I came up with the advocacy piece, advocacy, fashion, and philanthropy. That's what we're about. Mm-hmm. We're a platform that catalyzes and amplifies the message with the human factor of a person you've been looking at all the time. That person did time. And the little girl, her story is so incredible. I'm telling you about her. Her name is Slickwood. She was in Rihanna's fashion show in September, pregnant. And then the next day she gave birth, so she was in labor. She was found sleeping outside. That's how she started her career. She, too, did a little time. She's only 20-something years old. And then her mother just finished 17 years, and she got out of prison, like, last week.
That's
so then when you see her putting all of this on the Instagram, right, the only people that are knowing that are inside the industry. Mm-hmm. But she is a part of mass incarceration, which is on the news. That's the topic.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But there's a gap between the two, right? So then you've got Jay-Z and all of them. They just put a bunch of money together, and they're going to do this thing with the organization. See how complex this is with the organization? So you throw money at it, and then you can go back and do your career, and you spotlight it. So you guys showed up and did that. Now where's the human factor?
Mm-hmm.
The models can drive that home.
Yeah. And, you know, it's you know, you just talk about the prison, the system that we have. It just doesn't work. I mean, the thing is, I mean, if you look at the system in any other country, and I remember watching, and Alita, I told you about this, what was it, what country do we invade anyway? And we always go back to Michael Moore, and we always go back to Switzerland and, you know, those states, those countries, and they have their prisons are set up like apartments.
Yeah.
Everybody's got their own bathroom. It's really, really cool college dorms.
Yeah.
And their idea is they treat you like a human being, because if they don't, they're releasing animals. And what is the worst thing that you could do to a human being is you don't let them see their family.
Right.
That's all you have to do.
And treat them like an animal.
You have showers. Yeah. You have them learning skills, cooking.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have that.
No.
So we just lock people up, humiliate them, degrade them, deny them access to education.
Well, it all depends
on. And so what you're doing is you take a person who had issues, possibly anger issues.
Give them more.
And you release them, and this is where we constantly fail our people.
Yeah, this is so flawed.
Mhm. Yeah, I learned a lot, and so I just understand now, and now everybody's experiencing it. As soon as Trump became president, everybody realized that everyone's at stake. It's only the 1%. Once he got in, you got very clear that you're not exempt, and that again.
Mm-hmm.
Has to do with becoming engaged because it's you, right?
Yep.
That is the key point. The day after he made it, everybody marched. Everybody understood.
That's
nothing
exactly.
He's about. He cannot relate to whatever you're talking. He's really a 1%er. You don't know
That's
what you're
exactly
talking
right.
about.
That's
and
exactly.
so that is mass incarceration. You can't relate. So throw him away. Okay, I can't relate. You're crazy. Okay, I can't
right.
relate. Here's some drugs.
That's
and
exactly.
so, again, the human factor of I'm you, you're me, has to be put in place. Right now we've got the negative version of it on a global scale, and that is Trump.
Mm.
So, right? And I think you've got the Time's Up movement, am you.
Yep.
You've got the Me Too, I am her.
Mm.
We all are, and some are stepping forward to take the initial blow, and then the rest will all come. But it all this has to happen for us to reshift who we are as humanity and to readjust our relationships accordingly because we have peaked in the imbalances financially, relationally,
morally,
inclusively, diversity. We're all here and have been left out. We can only have one black girl on the cover. We can only have not even any, you know. So, but all of us exist, though. So you're creating issues and have been creating wounds and issues on people and a whole nationalities and stuff. So the mass incarceration is a actual focal point, which proves the imbalance being so extreme. And one of the things Martin Luther King said, he said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And now, because whatever laws on the books, they affect everyone. And now everyone understands because the guy with the ink pen right now, he only understands 1%, which means this anything that he's putting on the books to law, they will not include you, everyone. So this negative has created a unity, and now we're all ready to move forward with humanity and understand very clearly that we have to honor one another. We have to know that diversity, inclusiveness, we all here, right? New York is great, but you know, just straight across the world, that this stuff is true. And you're enriched by it, not that other political game of you at a loss by it, you know.
Right.
So exciting time when I look at all this.
They really are, because I've been saying the one thing that we've gotten from him being here is
unity.
Exactly. I remember the first march in 2016 that I went on, I never remembered seeing as many people getting on the number 3 train. I mean, people were packed. People were waiting for the next train. And this is all because, and it wasn't just women. It was women and men and children. Everybody was on because you realize the threat, the direct threat that we're under and how important it is. And I was saying to myself, and I was saying to my husband that when we were standing there, we missed all of this in the 60s. You're seeing Bella Abzug, seeing Martin Luther King, seeing everybody, Harry Belafonte, people were
marching.
These are
your times of that.
Right. And I just saw them on TV as a little kid. But now we're in it, and it is exciting. It's scary.
Right.
But we're using the fear the right way.
Right.
We're mobilizing.
And fear and unity.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And you have a template. The 60s is a reference. They're the ones who got out there and created that.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone from the civil rights, everyone has benefited from what Martin Luther King and the movement actually laid down as laws.
Yeah.
So that's why the gay marriages and that inclusiveness, all of those benefits go straight across the board. So it goes again.
Yep.
Yeah. Injustice, and it goes the other way as well. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. It's the same. It's when the benefits are put in place. So that blood is on the field. The price has been paid. We have a reference and a template to walk and go and continue to move forward. We're just in a very kind of peculiar place, and I think that's where everybody really understands. He's got laws he's writing in there.
Yeah.
Some that everybody won't know until it's too late.
Well, you know, it's funny. Somebody mentioned the other day, it was Cohen who was on TV, said anybody, and I tend to think now he's not going to be impeached. Not that I want to make the show about this.
Didn't you see what Ruth Ginsburg said?
Yeah.
It's a waste of time.
Well, she said he's not worth it, and Pelosi said he's not worth
it's
it. And you know what?
It's a waste of time.
In a way, I know it will divide the party and the country. But in saying this, I know he won't be reelected. I know he won't.
And
but
I believe he will.
The scary thing is,
and I believe he will.
When Cohen said there will not be a peaceful transition of power if he.
Yep.
Now, you could picture this man calling in the military, not leaving. I could see it happening.
Right.
I could definitely see it happening. He's not going to go.
But do you
he's
think he won? Because just, I mean, everybody says because the electoral vote.
Mm-hmm.
I can never say the word.
Electoral
mm-hmm. vote. But he lost the majority.
Of course he did.
Okay?
Of course he did.
So he fixed this whole thing. And he will fix it again.
You know what? There's one part of me that's an optimist and sees that there are many people that voted just the protest vote. They didn't want her in.
Right.
And that was it. They
mm-hmm.
didn't want the Clintons
right.
back. That's all they saw. And I see these people now, although they might not say.
Doesn't matter who
they
voted.
They might not say. No, listen. They might not say, I voted for him and I'm sorry I didn't.
Right.
They will do the right thing
right.
come 2020.
Depends who runs.
That's what I
that's
think.
That's A.
What do you think, Maria?
Okay, well, this is all the stuff I learned in the 5 years. They have a thing called gerrymandering. It's not just the electoral vote. And let me just show you how this works.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that they do with prisoners, wherever they move them, they are considered a citizen. And see, this is the stuff that you're not seeing that's
mm-hmm.
happening. So they move, and that's where you get the federal money and all of this other thing. So that's gerrymandering. They moved, they move them all the time, okay? For me, I've been through 3 moves in 5 years,
mm-hmm.
and he's okay with him. And so, so they got gerrymandering, and then the electoral vote actually came originally from the slaves. Every
mm-hmm.
time you dig deeply on every benefit, everything, the suffrage, women, it always comes from slavery and the release. If you follow that track,
absolutely.
And then the fights, it was the black codes and Jim Crow. They kept revising it. And the reason I'm telling you that is, again, back to Martin Luther King, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Everything they did to the slaves and black community all the way to mass incarceration, it's a through line.
Yeah.
Everybody's at stake. That's why he became president, because now everyone is the victim of how they rig stuff.
Yes.
Gerrymandering. Now you're learning about the electoral vote. Now you're learning how they move the chips around. Where, oh, yeah, the numbers are over there, but he won because of these numbers over here. So now, finally, instead of playing race cards and like, oh, that's just black people, or oh, that's just this, and oh, they're terrible. And it's like, okay, when the black people war on drugs, which is why my friend is in prison with a life sentence, now it's called the epidemic, right?
Yeah.
So, and the drugs in the black community, there's no way we could afford them in our community. How did they get there? So
mm-hmm.
it wasn't, it's, again, it's back to inclusiveness, but now look, everyone is the pharmaceuticals, you see? So injustice anywhere is spread. It still equals the same thing. And it's because when you have to make the laws with the ink pen and you move stuff around, we're so far gone, they don't care if you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how dire need we are right now, when it doesn't matter where the race is. No, that is not the issue. They don't even care. It's the 1%. You saw it when Obama signed, the first thing, two things that happened. The people lost their homes, and Wall Street needed some money.
That's exactly right.
You know how to write contracts. You went to Harvard. Why didn't you, I know it's pressure and we can make all the excuses in the world, but no, excuse
mm-hmm.
me, you can't take back that paper now. They got bailed out, and I don't know what happens in people's homes. I think they lost it. But you're so busy playing the political win game, everybody, that you miss Madoff. You see? Madoff is doing all that on your watch. You're a black president. You're a black president, but you're doing politics, and there on Facebook, black people are getting shot live. And that's not really on your agenda. It's not in your conversation, just a little hit here. So it goes beyond race. He's black. It is politics. I have to win. Not only do I have to win, I want to leave with a certain legacy. Mm-hmm. And now you've got Trump, who don't care about any of that stuff. But here's the thing. It is the 1% who pays you guys to be able to run your campaign. So now the person who had their hand up your back, who was in the dark, who made all of the donations, right, they know the whole game. Trump knows the whole game.
Of course.
The 1% know the whole game. So guess what? I don't need you anymore. I'll be president.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how to make money. You don't. You just know how to write laws. I can do that. I have lawyers all the time. That's why his mindset is like it is.
Yeah.
And so consequently, we now have out of the dark, front, loud and clear, that is always been the money.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's what Trump represents, and that's why the human factor had to be rattled in such a way that he, you can't say that I am him. He is me. Absolutely not.
Oh,
you
no.
can trick me with Obama. You can trick me with Obama and say, oh, and I had tears, too. Oh, the fulfillment of Martin thinks I am him and he is me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, he only let out of 2-point-something million people in 8 years, he only let out like 1,700.
Yeah.
With the clemency, Tim? Yeah. Okay. So that disparity didn't really put a dent in it.
Yeah.
Okay. And then so we just still see on Facebook people coming out, you know, sentences they didn't deserve and all this other stuff. So again, on a human level, things are shaking themselves out, but that affects, this is my friend, somebody I know. These are people's fathers and children.
Of course.
This is gutting people.
Yeah.
Gutting. And so now you've got, look at Trump's people going in to get gutted. That hope, all these people you're looking to go to jail on Trump's watch, his people, their whole family is being gutted. We know what that means. We know exactly what that means. So the little girl limping on crutches, she may, who knows if she'll live through it. For Madoff's children, they couldn't live through it. They're all dead.
Yep.
His two, one killed himself
one,
and the other died of
cancer.
Himself.
Wow.
And the other one died of cancer.
And his wife is still with us, right?
Yeah. So, but I'm just saying what happens, injustice anywhere, this is what the black community has been dealing with for ages.
Yeah.
And so now you're looking at billionaires get gutted. And even today, the whole family is getting gutted. That's what you're looking at. And
now
so now we're you. Now they know they're us. You know, those people, his friends and them that's going to jail. And they now know that we are you. I don't know what they'll do about it.
No.
But my point is that no one is exempt, and the other thing is a deception to think anyone is exempt.
Nobody is.
Nope, it's the dollars. They showed you with the
bailout. It always is in America, and basically anywhere in the country.
But this is what it took for everybody to wake up. It's like they don't care about you either. It's like, well, at least I didn't get killed, or at least it's not happening over here. Okay, time's up is everybody. Me too is everybody. And bailout, people from all walks of life lost their homes, which affected that whole family, gutted. So it's like, excuse me, you're not, that didn't happen to you? Oh, okay. But now look, it was never about you. You were never included in this program. And now you know that. Nobody was.
But, you know, and I think you always go back to, again, and it's unfortunate how history always repeats itself, and there's always a reason for statements like this. And I forgot who the author of this was, but it started off, when they came for the communists, I said nothing because I wasn't a communist. When they came for the socialists, I said nothing because I wasn't a socialist. When they came for the Jews, I said nothing because I wasn't Jewish. And then they came for me, and there was nobody there to speak up.
Yep. You have got it.
And
silence is complicity.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's why I always love when unions, if the one union is striking, other unions come in solidarity.
Right.
It could be the steel workers. It could be, but everybody. It might not be my cause, but you walked with me. I'm going to walk with you. And I think the one thing that's happening that is good with all this is we are now going back to that, walking together.
We have to.
Yeah.
We have to.
We're stopping
it's
stuff
must.
Now. Well,
it's a
yeah.
total must right
that's
now.
That's what I'm saying. You know, and a lot of times people, and even you've said it, what does protesting do? It does something. You know, even if you think it's not changing the law, it just makes you feel better about being with like-minded
being
people.
Being heard.
Yeah, being with like-minded people that you feel like you're not alone. Thank God. You believe this. And I always say, you have a right to protest against
mm-hmm.
me. That's your right, as long as we don't. And that's what we're doing.
Well, the whole key in protesting and all of these things, it's like a marriage or a relationship. That's humanity. We got to bump up.
Yeah.
Are we going to break down? And
that's
we
right.
need to have the bump to have the conversation to continue the relationship. I'm not mad that you like you're a vegetarian and I'm not,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
Something about me is valuable enough for you to want to continue a relationship with me,
right.
and I the same with you.
Right.
So
yeah.
those again are the human factors, and what we're doing is we're being forced to have the conversation,
mm-hmm. which is
the,
great.
The marching and the protesting is to say we're not on topic with you and you've got the pen, but we are the people who gave you the dollars and the vote. And so, therefore, you're forgetting and leaving us out of the conversation. It's like a bad marriage.
Right.
And I'm here to say absolutely not. Me and the kids, absolutely not. That's what protest is. And if you want to be a battering husband or an abusive power figure, then we'll have to deal with that. But I'm going to stand up to you because it's still not right if you kill me. It's
That's
still
right.
not right if you hit me, husband. So I don't care how much power you get. It's an abusive relationship. It's
exactly.
out of balance. We cannot live or survive, me or my children. So absolutely I am going to protest. Absolutely I'm going to give my voice. And absolutely I'm willing to die for it.
Exactly. And you know what that I always say?
That is protest. There's
nothing better to die for than a belief. You know what I'm saying? There's mm-hmm. nothing better. I mean, I would rather go that way than something like an accident or disease. I would rather die with conviction, and I think that's
mm-hmm.
just a noble way to go.
And you're actually, when you're willing to die for something that goes beyond the belief, you're actually dying for a human being.
Exactly,
you're saying,
yeah.
this is not right, and I'll stand in whatever ways this go in case everybody forgot.
Mm-hmm.
This is not right for you or anyone to be treated this way. And I care enough to never be complicit with this because it's going to hurt
mm-hmm.
all of you.
Eventually,
that's what
exactly.
a person is standing for.
Yeah.
That's it. It's beyond belief. It's beyond positive thinking or any of that, because when the gun is in your face or
mm-hmm.
the prison door is there waiting for you, what are you going to say? And the
exactly.
same thing with the Jews and everything else. The whole point is no, because
mm-hmm.
that history has shown me you go too far.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, anybody who says that, you know, you're unpatriotic because you're protesting, that is the highest form of patriotism. You're saying, I love my country, and it could do better, and I'm going to be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to change it.
Yeah.
And people just don't get that. You
no.
get those angry red faces that are screaming at you and telling you to go back to Russia. And it's like, what the frick is
or
wrong with
the
you?
Angry orange face.
Well, this is what I'm saying.
You
like,
are too hilarious.
But it's true. I mean, I've been at protests where I've had people yelling, go back home.
Yeah.
I live in Brooklyn. Where? What? That's where I... But this is when you're dealing with that mentality, truthfully, nothing you could say except saying, I'm sorry I said anything, and walking off is going to satisfy
ignorance,
that.
A lot of ignorance.
Yeah, well, again, it's they drank the Kool-Aid. So some
yeah,
kind
right,
of way
exactly,
you're
right.
better than the rest of humanity. But when you put this on a humanitarian field, and it's okay because you can have ill people, you know, everybody gets to be whatever they are, and thank God you're saying it out loud instead of it being
right.
silent, so I know to cross the street.
Yeah.
I didn't make a mistake and invite you over. Thank you. I appreciate that. So be who you are, and the whole thing that they buy instead of the human factor is I'm better and the country. So it's, patriotism is a little tricky
mm-hmm.
because the patriotism should be for the human. When you
yeah.
go to war, it should be for the human. It's not
mm-hmm.
just the country, because
yeah.
the country will betray you as we're watching. It's
mm-hmm.
got to be a human connection.
Exactly.
Well, you don't want your child dead. You
no.
don't want your child raped. You don't want, it's that simple. This is what you're standing up for.
Well, I always said that if the heads of states and countries were women, there would be, I would say, 80% less wars, because most women do not want their children to die.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. No woman is going to put their child, the son or daughter, out there. I'm not saying that fathers love their kids less, but there's less of a connection. No woman is going to allow another child to die. That's it. Period.
Yeah. Well, the good news is we're at a new millennium. It's a new era. It's the age of Aquarius. We just left Pisces. And Aquarius is about humanitarian and ends up simplifying everything, because of the fact it's about the human connection. Even males, they have their relationships with each other and everything too. They also want to take care of their fraternity.
Yeah.
Trump too. He wants to take care of his 1% of his narcissism and narcissistic family.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has feelings, something that they're willing to fight for.
Yeah.
And so that is protest. That's the whole point that I'm trying to make.
Amen.
It comes from relationship and the humanitarian. It ends up very simple. They just overcomplicate it in order to feed you the Kool-Aid and to disconnect. And so therefore you only see this only with blinders are on. I'm woman, and then that's it, and that's all, and I need my rights. Or it's part of the collective. We're out of balance. It's not sustainable, people.
That's exactly right. Now, this is the part of the program where we tell the guests to go plug themselves. So if there's anything that you didn't mention, any website you want to mention, anything else, donations, mention it now before, and we'll actually put it on our page tomorrow, too.
Okay, great. Well, we're working on our infrastructure with Cover Girls for Change. We will be launching. We're targeting for September to relaunch our website, and then we'll roll out our different events and things. But I'd like to direct everyone to the Cover Girls for Change Facebook page. So even if you put in Cover Girls with an S for change.com, it'll redirect you to our Facebook page.
Perfect.
Join our community, and you'll see all kind of advocacy work on there. And stay tuned for our launch. We'll keep you updated. But it's the Facebook page that you want to go to. Lots to share and wonderful, wonderful things ahead.
Absolutely. Amen. Maria McDonald, thank you so much, darling. What a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, definitely.
Breath of fresh air.
Thank you, guys. It was wonderful.
And you'll come on again, yes, love?
Yes, of course. As soon as I have
something
else to talk about, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
Have a great day, darling.
Bye-bye, Maria.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
Now that's, she's a woman with a mission,
mm-hmm.
a mission, and a wonder, and just like she and I were talking, and just like she's got so many wonderful ideas, and again, all about progress
for change.
Everybody, you know, it's just so important.
Wonderful platform.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And she knows, I think, when Nancy's on the show in a couple of weeks, I'll ask her, because she knows Nancy, the lovely Nancy.
Yeah, definitely.
Just a wonderful story, and just many, many wonderful stories. And again, the platform and direction she's going in is just, you know, it's important.
Definitely.
You know, and it's all our little our contributions. So it's like, look, even our show. You know, it's just like
it's speaking our voices.
You know,
this is what we believe in, and this is what should happen. It doesn't mean you have to listen to us, but
of course not.
Like she said, there's always a bump in everything, and that's what we're trying to create.
You know what I think? I think the most disturbing part of all this, and I didn't want to interrupt her when she was speaking, but is that years ago, and it was always the case that two things that you don't discuss at a party are religion and politics. Just because it might get heated.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's going to get heated. It's not like if it gets into
a full-blown, especially if you have two sides,
screaming and yelling, almost volatile conversation. Whereas you just argued years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like you don't blah, you know what, he's a schmuck. I'm not going to talk to him. That's the worst it got. Now it's headbutting, spitting, screaming.
Right.
So it's like you won't broach the topic because it will get like that. It's not a matter of if anymore.
No.
It will get like that.
Shame.
It's.
But that's what the climate is, because that's what we're dealing with. That's our, you know, master and plan right now,
mm-hmm.
and that's the way he's behaving.
And
so what happens is a lot of people especially the people that voted for him,
mm-hmm.
are going to act like him.
And you know, the truth is, the minute anybody raises their voice, you lose the argument because
mm-hmm.
that other person is threatened and they're not hearing you.
Right.
But if you continue a conversation and just make your points
mm-hmm.
and that, they might go away, they might not agree with you in front of you, but they might walk away and say, hey, you know, I never looked at it that way. Because
right.
there's been times that
well, it's nice to hear two sides of the story,
you know? I'll admit, there have been times when it could be somebody with a contrary point of view politically, but they'll make a point that I'm like, you know, I never thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
I might not agree with it, but it's like, I never looked at it that way. Now I could see why you're coming from that angle.
Right.
It doesn't happen often, but I leave the doors open for the possibility.
Well, you have to, you know? You have to
yeah.
hear each other out without
yeah.
arguing.
Yeah. But that's the whole thing. We
right.
we can't do that.
Yeah.
We get into this weird place where it's, and again, I think there's a lot of Trump guilt in the people that voted for him because nobody wants to be part of a problem.
I don't know about that. They really don't know about that.
I'll tell you, my two brother-in-laws, one brother-in-law I knew was a Trump supporter. The other is an animal rights person. He cares about people. He,
mm-hmm.
Everybody is sir and ma'am. Doesn't matter what culture you are.
Mm-hmm.
He's very kind to people. And when I found out, I was like, but why? But you know what? I didn't want to get into,
right,
and neither did
thing,
John,
right.
because it's like, you know what? It's not going to go to a good place. We're on good terms. Leave it alone.
Right.
But someone like him, I was thinking, well, he's really a decent person.
Mm-hmm.
Why? And I'm sure there's a little bit of guilt. If something, let's be serious. If he caused us to get into some sort of nuclear war, all these people would keep quiet. There'd be the people that would say, well, we're going to die anyway, so, you know,
right.
whatever. But then there'd be those who would be
that really will never
ashamed.
Happen because Trump loves to be alive.
Oh, well, you know, unfortunately, he would be safe.
Yeah.
He would be safe. The rest of us wouldn't be. He
well, like I said,
he's
going to be safe no matter what.
Well, you know what? I still am a very firm believer in karma, and he might not be impeached, but
he's not. And I told you since day one,
there's stuff that will happen.
No, it won't.
No.
No,
I'm just
it
saying,
won't.
Maybe not as far as we're concerned, but you can't be a human being like that and
no.
get away with it.
But he has, though.
Yeah,
he
there's
because
gonna,
he's a dictator.
There's going to be something. Believe me.
I hope so.
There's going to be something. Karma
so.
Sometimes shows up late,
I
but she always
so.
Shows up.
I hope so.
And speaking of showing, that's ours.
Yeah. Wow.
And
went fast.
We thank the lovely Maria McDonald, Cover Girl for Change. We'll thank her again on our page tomorrow. And we will give you her information yet again, and she'll be on with us in the future. And, of course, thanking the lovely Elite Ziegman for riding
oh,
shotgun
thank
with me.
Thank you. Miss Laurie Towers.
Thank you, darling.
Ms. Laurie Towers.
Thank you, darling.
Ms.
Thank you, dear. And we wish everybody a productive day, a progressive day, a compassionate day. Go out, do something nice for somebody else, for yourself, for the planet, for an animal.
Treat each other kind.
That's it. Just
treat
each
other.
It's not that hard.
It's very easy.
And we will be back here next week, same time. Nina, take us home, darling.
Here we go.